Heavenly Father, I just pray that this time would be a time of your word speaking to us, Lord, and a time of direction for ourselves, and a time of guidance for us. In Jesus' name, amen. A title for this morning. Yes, just still. A chip off the old block. A chip off the old block. We know that saying, don't we? It's a chip off the old block. I don't know if we've got the picture there. Got a little picture somewhere. Now look at that. A chip off the old block. Do you know who those two are? And you see a similarity there? Similarities. It's almost the same, exact same look, isn't it? Yeah. A chip off the old block. And when we say a chip off the old block, it can be all sorts of things. It could be things that we say. It might be a look. Mannerisms. There's all sorts of things. You say, oh, they're a chip off the old block, you know, it just might be the way what they do. It might be how they look, what they say. And some of the things, I mean, I don't know if you say things, and I bet you do, and you say, oh, I can just hear my mum saying that. Do you say that? Mm-hmm. Chip off the old block. I can remember, oh, my mum, I never thought I'd be saying that. My mum saying that. Or, there's lots of other things. Or maybe we do something and we think, oh my word, I can just see my dad doing that. And we can have these things that, and some things we can't help ourselves with. We've just learnt them. And other things, they're our genes and we just end up looking like each other. We just can't help that, can we? Perhaps I'd have a different haircut, but we can't do a lot about how we look and some of those kind of things. And sometimes as we grow, we see ourselves growing into what our parents look like. One probably or the other or a bit of both. Do you see? We sometimes see something of that as we grow. But an awful lot of a chip off the old block is the things we say and do and the way we behave. We just can't help copying those phrases and sayings. And you've probably all got them, that you've learnt them from somewhere along the way. But if we were to look at ourselves and we didn't actually know our parents or whatever, and maybe we were looking in the mirror and we were distorted by something, either the mirror was distorted or we had a burnt face, we would have a difficulty trying to see, we would have difficulty trying to think, what did my parent look like? Because we would be distorted from something that had damaged us. And as we look at ourselves, you know, we can be a chip off a block naturally. But we can be a chip off something else. We can be a chip off God, you know. If we are born of God by his Spirit, we should be a chip off the old block. We should be something of God, shouldn't we? And, you know, and what is that chip, that part of us, that is God? Now, when we have this, if we have a distorted picture of who God is, that might affect what we do. And as I thought a fair bit about all this, I thought many things can impact the way we think of God. Many things can affect how we see God. You know, you could be two children in one family, and I could talk to both of you and you have a different idea of who God is. And our understanding of who God is can be very different for various different reasons. You know, and it's sometimes if we look at our own reflection in the mirror and we see the distorted face, we might think, if that's all you've ever seen, that's who your parents like. And if we see, we can make God in our image instead of us being made in God's image. Do you see what I mean? In our thinking, we can have God in our image. We've turned it round. And a lot of people out in the world make God in their own image. And so God could, in their image, might be a hurtful God, a vindictive God, a malicious God, because that's something of the nature that we have in us. And so we can sometimes get it wrong and we make God in our image by looking at ourselves and thinking, hey, that's who God is. He's like me. And that's how we can sometimes act upon. And if we think God is like that, what might we do? We might reject God because we think, hey, he's this. Why do I want a God like that? We might look at our own parents and think God is like our own parents. And, you know, even though we love our parents, they're not perfect, are they? And we can make God in the image of our parents. And we could reject God saying, well, you know, if that's God, I don't really want him. So we can make God in a distorted image. And our experiences of our own parents and family and people like that, we can make God in that image. And so when we think about God, we think he's like that because that's the experience I've had. Bad experiences of authority. We've all been to school, and we might have a bad memory of school. As authority, that's the first, one of the first contacts we have of authority. And that might be, we might think, well, God is like my headmaster or my school teacher. And we've made God in the image of the authority that we know. And we think, oh, I'm not really too keen on that God that makes me do this and makes me do that. I don't really want much to do with that God. I hated school. I don't like God. And, you know, our experience of authority. And I wouldn't be surprised if sometimes we're a bit fearful if we see a police car around and we all sort of think, oh, careful, careful. Sometimes our feelings to authority we can think God is like that. And so the experiences we've had, be it authority, parents, can affect our image of God. And we can build God in that image, in our heads. Because how do we have an understanding of who God is? And we can react to bad experiences and make God in that image. We might have lived through a difficult time. We may have had no father, or we may have had a harsh father, and now we think, oh, I want a God who gives me everything I want. And so we might make God in that image, the God who allows me to do everything I want. And that can be the God that we say, yes, that's the image of the God that I want. I want the God that allows me to do whatever I like, whenever I like. It's the Father I always wanted. And we can have this image of this God who lets me do anything and everything. And at the end of it, he'll just say, oh, that's okay. You can do whatever you like. And that could be the picture of the God that we want. The God that lets us get on and do everything we want. We may have a picture of God in the image of government, the local government or government in the land. Government looks after us in this country. Government supplies us with housing. Government gives us all the benefits that we need to look after us. Government sorts us all out. So we can make God in the image of government. Whatever I do, God will supply everything for me. Now, you think, well, he is a bit like that, and he is a bit like that, and he is a bit like that. There's something truth in a lot of these things. But we can make God in an image of what we want. God can be in the image of what we have thought, think in our head. And it can be a skew-if picture of God, because God is invisible. So we don't see him, do we? He's an invisible God. So somehow in our heads, maybe we think, well, the best way that I can go about this is to make up this image that suits me. But I was talking to the youngsters last week, and I said, and I went through some of this and said, you know, where do we look to see who God is? Where do we get our understanding of God? And, you know, we only need to start looking at the scriptures. But let me just read a scripture first. John 8. Let's see if I can find it. 31. And this is Jesus speaking. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Because we're nobody's slaves. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. That was a little insult at Jesus, that was. We're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. That's what he said to them. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and a father of lies. And then Jesus goes on to say, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Jesus says to these Jewish religious Bible studying or scripture studying people, you're of your father the devil. It's quite a strong statement, isn't it? We like to think of Jesus as this meek and mild, nice guy who went around healing people and blessing people, which he did. And yet when he saw these religious people, these lawmakers, these scholars, these studiers of the word, he said, you wouldn't know God if he stood right in front of you. In fact, your father is the devil. Quite a shocking thing to have said about you, isn't it? perhaps they didn't really, I don't know what they thought, his time wasn't there. And what I'm taking from that is, depending on who we see and what we make God out, can have a big impact on us. And even though these people thought they were of Abraham and thought they were of God, Jesus said, you're actually of Satan because of what you do. Your deeds have made you like Satan. You lie, you cheat, and actually, he didn't actually say these words, but I'm God standing in front of you, and you actually want to kill me. You want to destroy me. You want to be a son of God, and yet you want to kill God. They didn't recognize God amongst them. So they were thinking that they were of God, but Jesus is saying, you're actually of Satan. Everything about you is corrupt. And these were religious people. These were God, so-called God-fearing people, that God was saying, you're not of your father. You're not a chip off the right block. You're a chip off the wrong block. You think you're of the right block, but you're of the wrong block. And sometimes we can think, and this is why I was thinking, depending on the picture that we have who God is in our mind, we can, and people can, and the world can, get a very wrong understanding of who God is. There's lots of people in this world trying to follow God. But Jesus would say, you're of your father the devil. It's the kind of, seems, we almost find it hard to say in this day and age, so politically incorrect. But Jesus said it to the people back then. And that's what he'd say now. He'd say, you want to kill. If Jesus walked this earth now, who would want to kill him? Would people want to kill him? A lot of people would want to kill him. They're of the father of the devil. It's just the same. Nothing's changed. There's people here who'd want to reject Jesus. And they would still do the same thing. But even in ourselves, are we a chip off the right block? Are we a chip off the right block? And when I was talking with the youngsters last week, I said, where do we look? We look to Jesus. We have to look to Jesus to see who God is. And the Bible tells us this. In the Bible, in Hebrews, it says, if we want to see God, we look at, in Hebrews 1, it says that Jesus, in Hebrews 1 verse 3, he is the exact representation of God. Now, if I gave you all a pencil here, if I handed you all pencils and gave you some paper, and I said to you, I want you to draw a picture of Dave. And every one of you did a picture. And I gave to you, one of you or two of you a Polaroid camera or a digital camera, whatever. Who would have the best picture of who I was, do you think? The camera. Yeah, it's not a trick question. It's unless it's a real sort of some dead accurate artist here. But the camera would take a likeness of me. The picture, some pictures would be a bit sort of nothing like me, and some might have some features of me. But the camera, if you looked at it, you'd say, that's Dave. And when we look at the scriptures, they didn't have cameras there, but it's as close as they can say is, when you see Jesus, he is a photograph of God. He is the image of God. He isn't a sketch. He isn't a... And I'm using the phrase a chip off the old block. It's not even saying a chip. Jesus is the image of God. He is the photograph of God. When you see Jesus, you see God. That's what it says in the scripture. So when we read it, it's actually showing us who God is. And if I just read a little bit in a few verses, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And it does mean exact image. It's not a likeness or a part sketch. It is a likeness. It's an image. And as we see Jesus, we see God. And so if we want to see the God that we call Father, who we want to have a chip, we want to be part of, we only need to look at Jesus. He is the image of the Father. And everything about him is where we need to look. And when it says he is the image, it really means that's where you need to look. You need to look at Jesus, and that will give us. And Jesus, well, he's a very interesting character because, like we've just read there, he's very honest. He speaks the truth. He said to those people who thought they were God-fearers, "You're of your father the devil." He said to others, "Be healed." He said to others, "Your sin is forgiven." He said to another, "You need to go and sell all your possessions." He spoke the truth. He spoke what needed to be said at the time. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, "I find you not guilty." He said all these different things. And that's the God that we need to look at. And we need to look at Jesus. He shows us who the Father is. And we, if we want to be a chip off the right block, we need to be a chip off Jesus. And we need to look at who he is and what he did. He spoke the truth. He forgave. You know, he did all these good things all the time. And when we try and make a picture up of God to justify what we're doing, we have to look at Jesus and see, this is what I need to be like Jesus. And not have this image of a God that either is this or that. You need to look at him. And that's where we have to go with it. And I've just got a couple more readings to look at. Philippians 2. Let's see what this has to say. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing," this is saying, be like Christ. "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit." Don't be living just for yourselves, is what it's saying. "But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." So it's, consider every others in what you're doing. "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." That's what Jesus did. He went round looking out and helping others for the good, and spoke truth to people when they needed it. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, a cursed death. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'll stop there. And when we look at this, are we wanting to be like God the Father, as we see in Jesus? And certainly, I guess we'd all say we don't want to be like Satan, do we? And yet, elements of what they did, these people of the law, the Pharisees, Jesus turned around and said, "You're of your father the devil." And even though they kind of prided themselves on what they thought was good, you know, what they knew all these laws, all these rules, they knew everything. And yet we need to have an accurate picture of who God the Father is, and not one that we've made up from our experiences of government, of school, of all those things. We need to look at the scriptures. We need to look at Jesus. And just looking at the scriptures legalistically might give us a wrong picture. We need to look at the love of Jesus. And I'll just finish with this last reading. It's 1 John. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. See, this is the position that he's brought us into, children of God. Are we a chip off his block? We should express it in our lives, children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. See, they didn't recognize him. Even though they studied the scriptures, they didn't recognize Jesus. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. There we go again. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin. So we don't want to justify doing wrong by saying, well, God is there to let me do whatever I like. God loves me and I can do whatever I want. The big sugar daddy that just lets me get away with anything. God actually wants us to be like him. He wants us to have that chip off the old block that is God. And we just need to look at Jesus, who represents God.